from Monday to Friday, 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Home Wrap with Helmut and Dwight. Good afternoon, and this is your Drive Time Duo here on Eagle FM. We are always here until the hour of 6 and always here with an exciting topic. Today we are going to talk about something I barely understand. That's money.
Do you know what's the worst part, Amun?
Yeah.
I also read through the report and I was like, what are these people talking about? What were they going to do just to get to the conclusions? And I was like, wow. So that was the aim. But yeah, you were still saying, Amun. No, let me not interrupt.
Thank you.
The chaos that will ensue after you finish your sentence.
Yep. Well, for those of you that have been living under an information rock, we have these things called the standing committees. Now, the one that we are going to be talking about today is one of from the National Assembly, right? Parliamentary. So we have, standing committees coming out of the National Council as well.
Mm.
These guys decided to, what's the right political lingo to use then? To embark on a journey to Kenya to try and basically look at their counterpart that side. How is Kenya, managing its finances as a fellow developing country? Well, the results coming out of that, embarkment is what I just made that up.
It was this close to embankment, you know, but.
Well.
You could have said that journey.
Journey is what we are here to talk about today. And that's coming out now. The report is proudly brought to you by the Standing Committee, the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Budget and Finances, aka BFC. Mm. First, I thought it was Barcelona Football Club. But, abbreviations, unless they're explained these days, can mean anything. Yeah.
Helmut, you thought this was Barcelona?
Football club. You know, just
being visited by our standing committees.
They met in Kenya. Now, interesting.
Okay, go on.
First, when, when you first sent this report, the first thing that came in my head was I'm not sure if it was last year or this year, the Kenyan head of treasury.
Yeah.
During Taxpayers' Day. It turns out Taxpayers' Day is a thing, in Kenya. They celebrate it annually, which makes a lot of sense because
I'm laughing.
Cushion the blow of financial mismanagement on taxpayers.
Celebrate them for giving you money.
Who came up with that? But anyway, on that celebration of Taxpayers' Day, 2020.
Oh my goodness. You know, Kenya just finds new heights.
Oh, Kenya is creative.
Of everything. But yeah. You were still saying, Amun.
Yeah. Speaking during the Taxpayer Day celebration back in 2024, he was talking about, the Taxpayers Day celebration was held. He attended the event shortly after arriving from the annual IMF and World Bank group, discussions.
Mm.
And, one thing he pointed out was that, he felt embarrassed getting in the queue. And then being called by one, he felt embarrassed finding himself in the queue and then being called one by one. This is now at the Bretton Woods Institution's head offices, being called one by one, by country, not by name. They would say Nigeria and then he come in. I don't know why he decided to pick, to start with Nigeria, but well, just Nigeria and then he come in and then we'll be 20, 30 minutes and then next Kenya and then he come in. Now, then, the exact words he uses for those of us with dignity is embarrassing. I'm like, oh, okay. Now, and then he wraps that up by recommending that not just the Kenya but basically developed countries. Although he's talking from mostly from a Kenyan standpoint, mm-hmm. that it's high time we basically push every, you know, up our finances so that we can basically finance as much as our, as, you know, finance our own initiatives as much as possible. It's not that, you know, it's not that borrowing itself is bad. It's just that when you are heavily dependent on it, the way that a lot of developed countries are, then it becomes, well, it's just a little too much. I think that's the, you know, that's the point, that's the point he's trying to make, where you have to, rely so heavily on borrowing that everything, you know, you just keep making the plans without first figuring out how you're going to finance those plans. And, which now draws a picture of you just making plans for someone else to finance.
Yeah.
Because, the thing is, which actually makes a lot of sense, because when you are borrowing and it's not very different on a large scale. Borrowing is just borrowing, you know, the best example you can just use your own personal example. If you are going to borrow to finance your high high-end lifestyle, sooner or later you're going to pay back that money because it's borrowing, not giving.
Yeah.
So,
it's not Christmas. It's not a birthday gift.
Yeah, no, it's not a birthday gift either. So, the thing is, that gentleman gave me faith into, you know, the future of African finances. His name is John Mbadi, who pointed that out. I was like, okay, now this is interesting. This was last year. Fast forward to 2025, we saw the Ethiopian, Tanzanian, inaugurating, like officially opening their John Magufuli Bridge. Mm. And then they basically tapped themselves on the shoulders as they should, that they finance the whole project themselves. And I'm not sure about the Ethiopia's Renaissance Dam, but it was also praised as a locally financed project, you know, mega project.
Mm.
And you and I went through the Namibia CC, not the midterm budget review. There's that word that I keep forgetting. The one that
medium term expenditure framework.
Thank you.
I tried finding that thing.
Medium term expenditure framework. Yeah.
Because it factors into this talk as well.
Yeah, the 1,000-page document, 500 more than the one we talked about last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. This year's, the medium-term expenditure framework that we looked at earlier on pointed also a very interesting picture about how, about how developing countries, including us, congratulations to us, pulling up our socks when it comes to investing in our own developmental initiatives.
Mm.
Yeah, because look, we do have developmental partners who also happen to be the African Union's developmental partners.
Exactly, same people.
Which is embarrassing. The thing is, the discussion of more like looking at each other's example of how we're managing, national finances and how we can, do it better to build our own economy because of the song we sing more often, and that's the song of economic independence.
Which doesn't exist. Not in the modern era.
Well, it does. Look, this would have been an ex. This subject would have been less painful looking at it on an. Actually, it's less painful because we are not looking at it on an African, on an African level.
Yeah.
although there are two African, parliamentary group of parliamentarians involved, Kenya and Namibia, trying to learn from each other on how to manage money. Which I thought was that's an excellent example considering the recent protest. But was that a good thing or a bad thing?
What, the us going there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Helmut, if the knowledge is here in our Bible, right here in front of me, I'm tapping him right now. The guide to the Namibian economy,
mm-hmm.
which states there in its own right that oversight committees take too long, firstly, to have an impact. Brings us back to the Oshakati High Court door.
Oh, dear.
And then ultimately, they also respond, or their reports come out a little bit too late as well. Now, this particular discussion of the standing committee going off to Kenya, the budget was already approved. The budget was already designated. The budget was already cleared, wish to say, tabling, greenlit, approved, use any word, because it's already there. Because the article that's in today's The Villager,
mm-hmm.
Which stems from a discussion you and I still have to talk about, where Minister Erika Shifuda at the last week Thursday's engagement with the civil society cited in her, you know, in her contribution to the civil society guys, that the development budget is currently at a 30% implementation rate, but that the operational budget is at a 70% implementation rate. Now, operations guys is like water, electricity, salaries, the run of the mill stuff. But the implement, but the developmental budget implementation rate is at a, just below 30%. Now, you've got to look at that discussion also in tandem with our talk that we've got here, Helmut, because you've got to ask yourself, or we will ask this ourselves as fellow Namibians, the particular question in terms of now what's happening in other parts of the country. Because this statement of the minister comes from the Ministry of Finance's engagement with other public service stakeholders across the country. So it's regional and local authorities,
yeah,
which is the biggest pet peeve that I've got. It's because I don't hear of the other local authorities saying, hey, listen, we wish to revamp our facade, the town's facade, or, you know, we wish to have these particular investments. None of them. Okay. This is also where I commend Ondangwa again. The 200 million Namibian dollar proposal for a stadium that they put forward. I commend them. You know, you either go big, like sometimes, like they say in the movie sometimes, which is a statement I don't actually like, because you going big
go home.
Yeah. It should actually be based upon data or some sort of informed decision making. Why should you go big? Oh, because there's X amount of budget that we can spare for us to go big for such a particular project. But here's the thing, Ahmed. No other town has put forward a similar proposal to say, hey, listen, let's try and build this particular stadium sports facility situation. Just to say that you've got green fields there, you know, for sports activities. That's it. Go do your thing. But your fencing, your perimeter also needs some attention. Facilities at the sports facilities, you know, like ablution facilities, conferencing facilities, all these particular things can be contained at such facilities. Or you can have any other kind of facilities potentially.
Yeah.
But no, Helmut, you don't see such proposals coming about. You don't. You really don't. Look, some towns, they don't. It's obviously a decision upon them whether they want tar roads or whatever, you know, to upgrade their road networks.
I'm sure they want that part.
Yeah, but it costs. But guess who has to pay the bill? They have to pay the bill. It's not roads authority's job. It's their job to do that. It's potentially something that roads
authority... How are they going to make the money?
That's what's the thing, Helmut.
Mm.
If it's your responsibility to look after your infrastructure in your town, then it's just you that have to... You have to pick up your socks. You have to, you know, sort out your story and go and do your job. Or get into the community and ask them, what do you guys need? Because I'll tell you this, Helmut.
Isn't that for the works, guys?
It's not for Ministry of Works. Each local authority is in charge of their own infrastructure in their towns.
Mm-hmm.
So now we sit with this particular problem. Because we also sit with another problem. Namibian local authorities, I'm now of a strong, you know, conviction. Besides Windhoek and the three coastal guys, I'm of a strong conviction that the other local authorities have no cooking clue how to be a local authority. Helmut, you can't sit at the same level that I last saw you 15, 10, 7, 3, 4, 1 year ago.
Why does that sound like Zoo Park?
No, but Zoo Park is the facility.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Hamoud, Zoo Park was the attraction for Independence Avenue. Mm-hmm. We've had this talk before.
Yeah.
But the moment that obviously not the private businesses in and around Independence Avenue started moving away, it obviously meant that Zoo Park no longer had its sort of like its mysticism, its allure.
Mm-hmm.
And plus also that, you know, us Windhoekers, you know, who go and visit Zoo Park, we don't treat it the best as well, because in many cases, what do? We leave our
liters,
our KFC, what was that thing? KFC, Streetwise 2 package and bag just there on the lawn. And we can see the dustbin, mm-hmm. but we decide yeah. to leave it right here.
Yeah.
So it's also a fault on us, the residents. So no matter what the mayor said, because she made that particular statement a little bit earlier in the year,
yeah.
I think just before winter or just in the middle of winter, about, you know, trying to resuscitate the CBD of Windhoek, there's nothing she can do. There's nothing City of Windhoek will be able to do. I'll tell you today, mm-hmm. there's nothing they will do, Helmut. Firstly, it's a nightmare for us, the customers, to get there. Are they going to move roads? Are they going to knock down buildings and reimburse businesses? No, they won't.
That's going to cost more.
Yeah, so there's nothing they will be able to do about resuscitating the CBD.
I'm hoping there's someone at City of Windhoek listening, listening and saying, challenge accepted.
I'll tell you today, mm-hmm. it'll take another 25 years for them to try and solve anything with that, because yeah. it's private land. And if the private guys cannot convince businesses to come back, there's nothing you can do. There's really nothing you can do. The only thing keeping the CBD alive is that mall of Vernier. It's the only reason.
Take that away and it's cooked.
Take it away, it's cooked. It's the only reason why the CBD is still something.
And also the Supreme Court. People take pictures of that side of them.
No, but the Supreme Court is in a parallel street.
Yeah.
That Robert what's that street's name? Okay, but anyway, that street.
I almost said Independence, and then I saw that you're talking about the street that comes from Van Hill all the way to the, church.
Yeah. That's Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro.
Yeah. But still, I mean, when you've got to look at the unique developmental issues that Namibia has, coupled in with Vintu, coupled in with his local authorities, you can see that we have a unique perspective. We have unique needs. Now, we did not have, unfortunately, riots, demonstrations about the increment of further taxes or tax law on everyday people. We didn't have that. That was Kenya's issue.
Yeah.
Look, an oversight visit to Kenya to try and understand things, sure.
Yeah.
But Kenya's situation is based from British influence.
Oh, boy, do I have a comment on that.
Our taxation system and our legal system and all our other systems is based upon what we inherited from what the South Africans left. Because obviously, we have similarities like to South Africa, but the biggest scenario is that we don't have as much population. Plus, we can vote directly for our president. They can't vote directly for their president. If you go to Kenyan politics, it has been the same actors in the political game, even though in our country we've had various parties try to vie for the top office,
yeah.
even though it's been the same victor since 1990. But at least we've had successful presidents with different administrations transitioning, in a pretty peaceful manner. So when you look at the scenario like that, you also ask a little bit of a question, Ahmed, in terms of, okay, so why do you need to go look at Kenya for oversight on budgeting and financing? Why?
Let's get to the report on that question now, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Findings. I wanted to start on purpose, but I want to get my juice earlier, so I'll just skip all that finding discussion and go straight to discussion and purpose and go straight to findings. That's page 2. Findings. Evolution, evolution, structure, and functions of Kenya's parliamentary budget office. Now, this takes us back to the song you and I have been singing. Things on paper, human beings, boy, are we good. It's practical. We have a problem with. Now the reason why I'm pointing that out is because the report itself points out I don't have a problem with our standing committees from a National Assembly or National Council, you know, if they are going to see a structure on how another country is is doing their thing to try and sort of like emulate their way of doing things. And basically, everything that they are getting from this fact finding missions, as they are sometimes called, they always compile a report like this, and then hand it over to Parliament for deliberation on whether or not to adopt it in full or in part. Because we live in a democracy. That's one thing I like about these reports, because they just provide a recommendation, and then it's up to that ministry or that SOE to adopt in whole or in part the recommendations provided in that report. Now, the thing is, all the credit for this whole more like a perfect on paper type of structure is one that I have a problem with, because of where all the inspiration is being drawn. It's just whether you're looking at it from Africa or from the US, on paper everything sounds perfecto.
Yeah.
But in practical reality, you have things going south faster than actually at the speed of light. Now, the Parliamentary Budget Office CBO was established in 2011 under the Public Finance Management. Public Finance Management Act of 2012 to strengthen Kenya's legislative oversight of public finances, and then ended up with a protest. This was in 2012, to strengthen public finances, and ended up with a protest. Now, its creation was influenced by global, and that's the word I have a problem with, global best practices, particularly the model of independent fiscal institutions like the U.S. Congressional Budget Office. Huh?
Exactly.
These guys' Ministry of Defense have failed audit for 6 years in a row. Now, that's like you walking past John Wanda and France and trying to ask me how to run a radio station. First of all, I know how to present my show, how to start one. Don't ask me.
Mm.
Now, look, not to basically bash these guys, but the thing is, this is the biggest problem, the biggest problem with politics for the most part. Because now you have the thing about politics is everything sounds excellent on paper, but it's more often contradicting what's going on the ground. So you have the strongest legislative, legislative and financial mechanisms that were adopted from a country that is having its own internal issues.
Mm.
Now, you also have to understand that developed countries like the US, they are not run by angels; they are run by people, just like you and me. That means they are full of, among other things, self, just like you and me. We're not very different, which is why you have a lot of things that sound perfect on paper. Again, in reality, not much. And the best practices, particularly the model of independent fiscal institutions like the U.S. Congressional Budget, CBO, and Canada's Parliamentary Budget Office. The Parliamentary Budget Office, PBO, was designed to provide non-partisan evidence-based analysis to Parliament, reducing reliance on executive for budget information and enhancing fiscal, you're not going to like the last word, accountability.
So they went to the US and Canada for their outreach, for their,
The document that basically helps the Kenyan, enhance accountability in terms of national finances. The document or the institution that regulates all that in Kenya, is based on ideas adopted from mostly the US and Canada, which is a brilliant idea, because if you ever read these documents, they are very on point. The English is awesome.
Yeah, but US, Canada, Helmut, they've got totally different cultures than Kenya.
Well, what do you mean? It does say here that by global best practices.
Yeah, it's a lovely word we love using. Or let me rather say, our parliamentarians and,
best practices?
and government officials, when they come give us the media a press conference. Yeah, for best practice, we go to Angola to look at how to deal with oil and gas. And I was like, huh? Yeah, we go to Gabon to go. Was it Equatorial Guinea to go look at best practice? And I was like, huh?
Uganda, justices. But the thing is, one way of looking at this is, it doesn't matter which country you go to. It doesn't matter which country you go to.
Mm.
Every central government, I think at this point, is having one big problem. What's happening on the ground is rarely matching what's written. And now you have a lot of people asking questions. Like, oh my God, maybe I'm just reading a little too much in what's going on in South Africa. You have a general that can define activist. Everyone is asking one question. How the heck did he get that job?
Helmut.
He's the head of intelligence, and he was asked, you know, he was asked one very simple question. Now, you were forwarded information that is only, you know, the information known to only be possessed by people with, people in the police with a certain security clearance. You were forwarded this information by a civilian, and you were, that didn't bother you. And I was like, no, it didn't bother. I was like, huh?
Helmut,
let me define national security.
That's nothing. That's nothing. The guy that was the previous police minister of South Africa was at one stage the general of the police, of the South African police, Bekele.
Oh, yeah, that name is coming up a lot.
Yeah. Now, up until last year, he was the police minister. Bekele Ahmed, when he was the general of the South African police service, it came out he didn't have a grade 12. To own on his name, to own, to be in the position. Okay. First thing you obviously say the political appointing in 101, in terms of citing. Okay, how does this guy get in? Okay, 101. We know. Because how do you get someone like Mkwanazi?
Yeah.
Who's an admitted lawyer. He's an admitted attorney.
Articulate to the core.
He can, as a general of the police,
yeah,
he can present a case,
yeah,
on behalf of the police,
yeah,
in a court of law. But one of his big bosses doesn't have a grade 12 to his name.
His boss. Now, you have to, that's no, the person.
It was one of his multiple bosses, generals.
Along the chain of command.
Yeah. Bekele did not have a grade 12. I think he still does not have a grade 12. Now, here's the worst part. At the time that Bekele was the police general of South Africa, the South African police had arrested a pretty high-profile underworld guy in Johannesburg.
Criminal underworld.
Yeah, he was the mafia boss for the Czech mafia in South Africa, or the Polish mafia in South Africa.
Czech is in Czech Republic?
Yes.
Holy
and
cow.
They arrested this guy, and then people discovered, or the police in the investigation discovered, and it came out, someone leaked it to the media, that this guy knows Tele by name. And then one media person called Tele and asked him, so, General, this guy says he knows you. How do you know? What's your ties to this man? No, he's my friend. If the boss of the police says I am friends with an underworld, with a criminal underworld boss. Helmut, what does that say of your police service? What does that say of your police service? And now, what has been the biggest things coming out of South Africa? How one of the, and they call it, this is the term that they're using now, one of the big five drug cartels in South Africa.
Oh, yeah, the big five.
So the big five is to do with the personalities and the extent to which they operate in South Africa.
Yeah.
One of the big five is tied to one of the police big heads.
And those guys...
And to the Minister of Police also.
Yeah, and the organized crime scheme that was discovered in KZN was to borrow the words of Lieutenant General Mkwanazi, that they were operating more like the headquarters, if it were, was in KZN, but these guys were basically operating all across SA and neighboring countries. That's when I post the video on neighboring water. And then I found something that sent chills down my spine. The South African military and the police have been losing a lot of guns from their national armory, and most of these guns are used in a lot of mostly political killings, and These killings are being carried out by gangsters. Mm. Basically, those ones that are living in a criminal underworld. Namibia has the same reports of the police and the army losing guns that are then later found in, is it Western Cape? Mm. I was, after I came across a part of Mkwanazi saying that, I went back to, I went back to the news articles. And then I came, came across one that yours truly, Eagle FM / The Villager put up. Like, this is close at home. About, guns missing and then being found, being used by gangs, in South Africa.
Yeah.
Here's the question. You have to understand, how very not safe that makes your country. Because if you are, if something goes missing in Helmut's house, that's not a concern. If something is missing from an institution that's supposed to keep your country safe, that's bad. Again, on paper, just get any document that regulates all these things and you'll see that every comma is on the right place. Every full stop is on the right place. But the practical reality, again, is just really far from those words. Now, again, I like to emphasize, every time I say that, I like to emphasize that we're all human, we make mistakes, but you have to understand that Helmut making a mistake, I'm only, if I make that mistake at work, worst case scenario, Eagle FM suffers the consequences.
Mm.
Yeah, but if I make it just in my regular social life, I suffer the consequences. But if you're in position of power and you make a mistake, that's bad. Because how did World War One start? Someone in power. Basically, a bunch of cousins were involved in a squabble and they ended up fighting on a global scale, literally. So I think following up words as much as possible in terms of trying to execute responsibilities when you're in public office must be one of the most challenging things to pull off, because now you have to take a trip to Kenya. And then sit with their, with their heads of national finance. And then they walk you through, here in Kenya, this and this and this, and this is how we manage our debt. This is how we distribute, the budget allocations between different ministries. Well, you can adopt it or not adopt it. Now, when you come from there to implement it here, that's where you now have, that's where you have now a report of, findings, recommendations and everything. You can adopt it. You can adopt it in part or in full. That's on you. It goes to parliament. It's discussed. Look, this structure we have right now is not perfect, but I love it. Why? Because it's peaceful. The thing is, if you just push it a little too far with non-regulation, my fear is you end up with Madagascar.
No, Madagascar's other issues. And that's where I'm disappointed with the media around what is the actual cause of Malagasy protests.
Yeah.
If you come to the Namibian context, now I believe in the Madagascar scenario, there was one guy that was interviewed by France 24 News English service, and they asked the guy, an Englishman that's there close by, what's the real concern? Yeah, many of the people we heard about the fuel and lights and water issues,
yeah.
Right? But Madagascar is literally like a Windhoek. Antananarivo is literally like Windhoek. You've got informal settlements, and then you've got areas. The built-up areas, the formal areas of the town, mm-hmm. of the city,
yeah.
which are neighborhoods, suburbs, and the likes, and business districts and the likes. The quickest assumption you can derive, because I've seen documentary videos about life in Antananarivo. Antananarivo has probably one of Southern Africa's largest informal settlements, or if I can call it townships, below the equator on the African continent. So you would obviously go to various places, but then in many parts of African countries, they don't make a distinction between a formalized part of the town and literally township, where shacks were built as extra. You can see it's like makeshift temporary housing.
Mm-hmm.
Now Madagascar and Antananarivo is literally like Namibia. They have a shanty. They have an informal side of things, informal side of the capital, and it's where a lot, and it's where
affluent side,
and it's where a lot of the residents of Antananarivo also live in. It's obviously bigger, And the concerns were obviously something that used, that was supposed to be geared or steered towards the municipality of Antananarivo. For some reason, they made it the president's issue. And for some reason, the issue now has seen the president run out of the country.
Oh, yeah.
To an island which is just off the Madagascar coast on the eastern side. And he's now flown from there to, I think, another French territory in close proximity to Madagascar.
Mm-hmm.
But water and electricity is obviously an issue of a local authority. And the way I know French countries, specifically countries that are not, that don't have a large Muslim population or not predominantly Muslim, Madagascar, Helmut, follows a system where they do have municipalities. They do have local authorities. So I fail to see the disconnect in terms of how demonstrators and political actors try to make it a president's issue.
Where
you've got a mayor in that town.
Easy.
And you can Google right now. Yeah. You will find out that Antananarivo has got a mayor.
Okay. The reason why you have all the... Look, once... again, this is the reason why I feel like, a lot of people in public office must focus on trying to solve the problem before ending up in a situation, in a situation where you have people running around, damaging properties and singing and chanting, in the streets. It's because crowds are very easy to manipulate. Crowds are very easy to manipulate. A lot of protest starts off, for the most part, with
They've got a municipal council in that city. Now, how is it the national president's issue?
Politics.
Plain and simple, yes.
Exactly.
And obviously opportunistic politics.
Exactly.
Where the Malagasy army stepped in recent week. Or in last week, yeah. So it's plain and simple. But you were still saying,
look, it's very easy to, it's very easy to manipulate a big crowd. All you just need is the right reach. That means if you are a political opportunist, and you see a lot of people rising up against your opponent who happens to be in power, of course you will be tempted to use that as an opportunity to feed in your agenda as extras in whatever, grievances are being aired.
Mm.
And that's when you start basically hearing people saying, well, if you could have voted for me, this would not be happening. The question is, let's just face it, guys. What would you do? What would you have done?
Apparently the mayor is one of the national leaders that have fled.
No, because protests, it's mostly complaints. Complaints are the ones that are not, when they are not addressed, they grow into protests. Protests, you have riots, and then you have the worst case scenario, civil war.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, it's very easy for me to take, for example, if you were in power and you have, You're just trying your best to make sure that, to reach your national goals, at least that you promised. Sometimes you have to, let's learn to under-promise, guys, because this whole thing of over-promising, I will create employment. Seriously?
Even the former mayor had to run out of Madagascar.
Very common.
Rajulina of Antananarivo.
The biggest mistake, I don't know a thing about running a country. And I hope I never find, I never have to find out, because that's just a whole lot of responsibility for my heart. I don't want to die of heart attack. First of all, you have to understand, running your own life as an individual, you have a headache. Running a family, a lot of us are trying to avoid that responsibility of basically building up a family and, getting married and settling down. Why? Because it comes with a lot of responsibilities. You don't just, you don't just have to pile up kids and then you cross your fingers and hope something will take care of them. No, you're going to have to do it.
Oh, no. The current president was the former mayor of Antananarivo.
So he decided to dodge out the country.
Okay, then the issues are with him.
As a former mayor who became president and then... here's the thing. Running my own life is difficult. I'm pretty sure running a family is even more difficult, let alone a country.
Yeah.
So it's a, it's a, no, what's that term that's used? It's a occupational hazard, that running away thing. Because he's, well, he's not the first one to run out of the country in the middle of a protest. Rajapaksa in Sri Lanka did that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So did Yak Viktor Yanukovych of Ukraine. So did Bashar al-Assad.
But Syria, yeah. Because the thing is, in situations like that, especially if the armies are involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are very good at helping you meet your maker sooner than you planned. So and, no one actually, you know, want to do that. So I think the, you know, I think the most difficult part of being in public office is how to, you know, you have, because you have different people of different political parties and different point of views in whatever you are going to propose. They will have a counter argument to it. Like you pointed out, one parliamentarian here at home who pointed out that don't just argue for the sake of arguing. Now, you have that pretty much in every society. The question is, how do you build a society where everyone is satisfied? Bottom line, you can't. Now, I think that's where politics now got one thing correct. Take care of the majority. Take care of the majority. Because if the majority are angry, you're cooked.
But here's the other thing also, Hamoud. And this is where the butt comes in. Guys, I'm minus out of the gutters. I'm just playing with English. So that no one's imagination runs away.
Well, I didn't think of it now that you mentioned it.
when people have to look at this particular conversation regarding the discussion in terms of, you know, what was the point of this parliamentary standing committee visiting Kenya, for example?
Yeah, okay. You do the point, then we get to... you do the points.
Okay.
I'm just, I'll just gloss through the conclusions.
Yeah. So they cited, obviously, that they wanted to look at what way could oversight committees have some sort of monitoring and evaluation capability over how budgets are implemented in a national context. Now, I remember at the start of the talk, I told you, Hamoud, just look at the Namibian context here. Our budget was already read and delivered on 27 March by the Minister of Finance. And then in the subsequent weeks after that, the parliamentarians now, which is now the National Assembly guys, had now the opportunity to debate about what impact is to be met from every ministry for every particular purpose. And each minister gave their motivations in parliament, and it just settled there. Now, what I believe, now I just believe, this is just a belief, meaning it's a hot air thought. It's a thought of hot air. I believe that the parliamentarians, the National Assembly members, the opposition party guys, should have taken every statement and motivation of every minister and then asked, hey, listen, minister, every month, give us, you know, some feedback about interventions, implementations, XYZ, and so forth. We don't want to hear operational stuff. We want to hear what project is kicking off in what month in which region. Because since April, the ministers, all we've seen is just field visits by the ministers.
Mm-hmm.
Or in between, we saw one minister being arrested and then a change happening at that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we've just seen ministers out in the field visiting various sites. Good stuff. It looks good. Now you have a sense of where a green scheme is or what a farmer looks like or what communal farmers look like. But the question still remains. We voted for a bunch of other people that could sit in another facility. They are supposed to be asking questions that said, hey, listen, then give us status reports every month. Let's know what you guys are doing. What has been achieved? Because now the discussion from this is, Helmut, you get conversations that will pop up next week, Monday or Tuesday, when the mid-year budget review is being broadcast across the country.
Mm-hmm.
We will then know as to
which particular objectives are being met in terms of developmental budget implementation. Earlier today, Happy asked me on the radar, you know, why is this the case, Dwight? And in the article itself, which is something that Minister Shafuda said last week, Thursday, which the Oshikati court door discussion also brought to light, is that the procurement process is tedious, time-consuming, and it takes too long to get the job done. It takes too long. We all have a guy that we know on our cell phones.
How do you shorten it without opening a can of worms?
But you see,
of your Ket Matlala guy swinging in.
But you see, you have to then ask the question of, what was the purpose of this visit to Kenya?
Yeah.
If there is a bill that was brought in by the Minister of Finance, Erika Shafuda, the Public Procurement Amendment Bill. Another conversation we've got to look at, Helmut. Because that amendment discussion speaks to amending the Public Procurement Act. So why did these guys fly off to Kenya? So that meant they potentially, in my eyes, this is another interpretation. In my eyes, none of these lawmakers on that plane to Kenya were interested in understanding how does the Public Procurement Act work.
Yes, I know, that was Dwight.
Yes, yes, they need to know. They are not interested in understanding how the Public Procurement Act today is impacting the Namibian economy versus the planned amendments that the minister wishes to introduce or is suggesting. Not introduce, suggesting, because it's a draft, it's a bill. So they need to go and scrutinize, get their lawyers, because a whole bunch of them are supposedly lawyers. I don't know if any of them actually understand primarily what goes into economic impacts of legislation, but they should go get their own lawyers, help them interpret, you know, what actions impact what actions, or just go get an accountant somewhere, a tax accountant, and understand how does public procurement get impacted by the various facilities. But you know what? You don't even have to go that far, Helmut, because many accountants and many lawyers think that they are the only knowledge, the beacons of knowledge. No, people just need to read. Take the draft, that bill amendment, and take the actual thing today in force, and literally do the tedious work of checking every line where the changes are coming in. And even the minister will tell you what changes she is suggesting in the current act, or to the current act to be changed. Part of it, Helmut, is literally to establish another authority.
With its own act.
That was now the amendment. Another authority. Now, what happens to the Central Procurement Board? What happens to that? So, hence, once again, Namibians, we have the capability of sorting out our own things. We don't have to fly to another African country, because I'm not convinced of another African country. I'm not convinced.
I'm not convinced of any country. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. Last year, or was it 2023-2024, one of the, one of these, the Public Accounts Committee, the Public Accounts Committees in the SADC region met in Joburg, South Africa. Basically this involved representatives from a lot of different countries, and we covered this last year or early this year. Now, one thing that was pointed out in that Public Accounts Committee, where people basically came together to discuss the problems that they are running into in their respective countries with regards to, to the execution of their respective duties, is political differences. It takes a little long to push things through, because people are not arguing because people are not criticizing the idea someone implements because it's worth criticizing, or there's something wrong with it. Nope. I just criticize your idea because I hate you for you as a person, or I just hate your political party, or maybe at some point in the middle of our midnight duty we ran into each other in someone's house. You know, we all had the same target, but you got the first. But the point is there are a lot of factors that basically points into this. Now, for yours truly here, standing committee visits are not much of a big deal for me. Going to other countries, and this is not the first National Assembly Standing Committee to basically go to a different country to try to learn how this country does things, and how this particular country or that particular country does things with the goal of adopting some of what they are, basically learning something from it with the hope of implementing it in Namibia and crossing our fingers and hope if it worked for Ghana, it also works for, well, Namibia. Now, we've had, standing National Assembly standing committees in Zambia, in Zambia for traditional authority initiatives, for, in Botswana for defense, in, in Uganda, for housing and infrastructure, in Rwanda, agriculture initiatives in, in Ethiopia. This, all this is with the previous administration. So this is not the first one to basically go out to other countries to try to learn how things are done in those countries with the hope of implementing it here. But, well, the question now is, this is where I begin to basically dial back and go like, this meeting could have been an email. Like, let's normalize Zoom, guys, because if you are going to, the reason why most of the projects can't go forward is because we're broke. We don't have money. Now, the thing is, for me, hopping on a plane to a different country to learn that, when I find myself in office, I really want to travel. So I'm not saying get rid of this initiative. So please don't. Not until I get there. But now, the point is, learning from others, brilliant idea. But we're in the middle of amendments. Learning from others, and okay, we already have amendments in place. And this, the amendment of the Procurement Act is one of, is one of those things that makes me glad that I'm not in public office, at least nowhere near that document. Because procurements is very tedious. And tedious is not the right word. Let me just say it's very complicated. Let me just use that word because tedious is somewhat negative because, it's tedious for a reason. Let me just give you an example. A lot of other, Namibia, let's support local, right? Namibians are advised to go out there, start their own businesses and, run their businesses the best way they can. Sometimes you can find the right directions or more like, the right initiatives in your way, apply for a tender, in the public sector. You can get that. And this has been happening. Nothing wrong with that. Except a lot of people now for a very long time in this country have been starting businesses and then winning tenders and then abandoning the projects and then running with the money. More like basically running away, call it that. So, we had to re-amend the whole thing again to, that's one of those pending amendments on the other side of the break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Where was I? Pending amendments. It's not that they, something I have to clarify there. Not pending amendments in a sense that the amendments have been kicked in place and they're already ongoing. It's just one of those things that have been pointed out with regards to the procurement, procurement regulations in Namibia that needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed. One of those, one of the critics of that part of the, that part of our procurement legislations that I remember reading through was one coming out of the procurement tracker by IPPR, where they pointed out that the procurement regulations in Namibia allows for, take for example, if I start a company and then apply for a tender and then abandon everything, everything halfway through. Well, we have regulations in place that basically gray lists my company, not Helmut, no. Helmut Incorporated is the one that will be blocked from applying for any further tenders in the future unless, until there comes a time when he gets his affairs in order and stuff like that. But it doesn't say anything about me as a person, as an individual. It only, the punishment with the gray listing punishment is only for the juristic entity. The natural screw up master, like yours truly, is not, is not part of the gray listing. That means now this is the genius part. Look, Namibians are smart. So, a lot of Namibians now who understands what they are doing, these guys will start a company, apply for a tender, and then they will get that money, abandon everything, then run into the sunset. And when that company is gray listed, guess what they do? They, as soon as they come, as soon as they gallivant the whole country or the whole world with that money and come back broke, they'll go straight to BIPA and then register a different company and apply for a tender again. Now, the thing is, the procurement guys now, they are not allowed to reject, my company because it's still me. I don't remember last time I read up on that, but I really hope they fixed that. But because last time I checked, which was long enough now, late last year, that was still a discussion. So you have Namibians that are basically, studying the system. If you are sleeping, you have Namibians that are studying the system. So they are maneuvering it. If you are sleeping, you and I go die in poverty. Now, and time is flying really fast. But anyway, we still have to, back to the report. Yours truly just stepped out. He has another program coming up after this. So by that, I mean yours truly, Dwight. Now, key conclusions coming out of this report that that was provided to us by the by our National Assembly Standing Committee from Kenya. Not from Kenya. Well, yeah, the report is coming out of Kenya. They had to go to Kenya. Standing Committee on Budget and Finance. These reports all have, three main structures in the way that they are structured. They have the purpose. Well, they have the purpose for the visit. And then they have, conclusions coming out of that visit and the recommendations. These three are found in all these reports. Just my favorite part. The structuring is perfecto. The trips. I want to criticize them, but I also want to travel. But seriously, I don't supposed to save money by you. I don't know, use Zoom. Like really, well, we saw that during early this year during the convening of the annual African Union discussions, and what happened? Was that the president of DRC who said I'm not attending that event physically, so I attended via Zoom, African Union level. So let's normalize Zoom and save money. Thank you. Maybe that will make us revamp our internet infrastructure. Some of us have games to play. A key conclusion for Namibia to consider. The PBO, that's the regulatory authority coming out of Kenya that I referenced earlier, the parliamentary board of, un momento. Yeah. PBO, that regulatory authority that's based on documents adopted from the US and Canada. PBO, Parliamentary Budget Office. Jesus. Now. Straight to the 16th page of the report, which is where all my juice is. The rest, you can read that on your own. Now, key conclusions. The Public Budgetary Office is a game changer and no space. Someone forgot to press the space bar. It's a game changer and an award-winning best performing department in the Kenyan Parliament. the Kenyan budgetary public parliamentary budgetary office is not merely a research unit. It is a technical backbone and, oh no, the English, oh, we're just getting started. It's a technical backbone of parliamentary oversight. Well, no. Oversight, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You just have to fix it. Sometimes you end up with a protest, sometimes you... Despite, you know, having a parliamentary oversight, that had been for, well, you know... The question, if it's this perfect, award-winning, how they end up with a protest? The bill protest. Let's increase the price because we are running out of money. The head of treasury came, you know, came from the annual, World Bank and the IMF meeting and said, okay, that was embarrassing. We had to get in the queue, ladies and gentlemen, where we were called not by name, but by country that you are representing. Means if I go to the IMF and World Bank and get in that queue, they won't say, next, Helmut Mahongo. No, they're not going to do that. They'll be, next, Namibia. Ouch. So, working on financing your own projects, excellent idea. Economic independence, excellent plan. So, okay, maybe I should give these guys a break for traveling to try and get some ideas for us. And anyway, Kenya, really? Actually, I wouldn't recommend anyone. Okay, there are not a lot of countries I would not recommend. But, like, my biggest problem with politics is that things sound on paper is perfecto. But not just them, not just them. That's, I like to push that under the blanket of human nature because it really is. How many things did you say to your wife / girlfriend? And how many of those have you failed on? See? It's not that... Oh, no, but this is different. Oh, it is the same. How often have you had her say, you don't love me the same anymore? Well, that's very the same. Well, politicians will be making promises they can't keep. We vote for them and then all of a sudden they don't love us the same anymore. All of a sudden we need an appointment. To go to their office before the election. So be like, my office is an open, I have an open door policy. Just walk in here and we can solve the problem. And then they get into office and like, okay, you need an appointment because I'm a very busy man. And also security. All of a sudden someone wants to kill you. Why didn't we kill you before we voted for you? It's rude to yell at elders. Unless you have a mic, then it's justified. So, integrated oversight is key conclusions. Integrated oversight is critical. Effective oversight is not the job of a single committee. It requires a seamless workflow between the budget approval and sectoral committees. Now, that second recommendation. The second conclusion, especially the sentence that says effective oversight is not a job of a single committee. Let's bring that to Namibia now, shall we? The majority of SOEs and ministries criticized for this year? Not Christ for, no one was crucified, they were just criticized. For failing to make, is it procurement plans? A lot of them failed. It's either they submitted their procurement plans late, the Ministry of Finance, or they didn't submit at all, failed to submit. So if you are not failed submitting your procurement plans, at this point I have so many questions for the Ministry of Finance. The money that's being given to a ministry that did not submit their procurement plans, what was that based on? Like, okay, you know what? You failed to submit your procurement plans, but, we assume that you're going to need this much money. Here you go. I know someone that works in Minister of Finance that's punching me in the face after this. I don't think she's listening though. Now, the thing is, if you have majority of ministries and SOEs failing to submit their procurement plans, then, I'm not a financial expert, but that creates a lot of receipt problems. Like, it's like me registering, take for example, I register my kids at school and then the school is like, and now I'm asking the school, how much is the school fees? It's like, no, we are not going to tell you that. We'll just let you assume what the school fees are. Wait, what? That's just out of curiosity for me. If a bunch of ministries and SOEs fail to submit their procurement plans, during the budget allocation, the money that they were given, what the heck was it based on? Just a genuine question. Like I pointed out, not a financial expert, just a curious one. Non-financial expert or any expert, just a genuine question. So if you are a concerned Namibian like me and you know someone that works in the Ministry of Finance, please, I'm sure there's a lot of technical lingo associated with the answer that question requires. So it's not a one person's job. Now, if you ask me, for this, they didn't have to leave the country. This is universally known. Running a family is not one person's job. Running a country is not one person's job on a larger scale. Because every ministry now have to provide its plans and its receipts. Every SOE now have to provide its plans and its receipts. There is just one tiny problem. In my country, one thing I know is that both ministries, SOEs, political parties, executive offices and, regional local authorities, majority of these guys are terrible at keeping up with their financial upkeeps, basically financial reportings. Terrible. How are you going to manage something you're not reporting on properly?
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Goeie nuus, Kimba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Kimba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Kimba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Kimba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. We continue, but before we do, live read. 2026 applications now open. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education programs. Diploma in Legal Studies, Level 6. Bachelor of Law Honours. Bachelor of Science in Project Management Honours. Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honours. Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours. Math and Science, Grade 4 to 7. Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours, Math and Science, Grade 8 to 12. Application fee is $230. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. How to apply? Applications can be done online on our website at www.wu.edu.na. The application fee for all courses is $230. Payments can be done at the bank, EFT or swiping at our campuses. The proof of payment must be uploaded on the application form along with all other relevant documents. No ATM deposit, receipt, or proof of payments will be accepted. All foreign qualifications must be accompanied by an NQA evaluation report/certificate. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Wilwitschia University, where everyone is an achiever. Aluta continua. That's not part of it. We continue again with another live read. Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to $1 million Namibian dollars in prizes. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. All you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2 liters, 1.25 liters, or 600 milliliter bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845#. Punch in your code, follow the prompt to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to the Coca-Cola social media page to watch the video on how to enter the competition.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Ten minutes to the hour of six. We continue with the visit to Kenya report. So among other conclusions reached by the report is that integrated oversight is critical. Effective oversight is not a job for a single person, not rocket science.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back for the millionth time. Don't worry, just having a busy day at work. Just put in mind, you may be listening to my very, very deep and sexy voice, but like I'm just, playing video games, but this is work. Like, there's a reason why I, always, say I make noise for a living, so... we have 8 minutes before we disappear, before I basically step out, making way for a different program that Dwight will be bringing you with some gentlemen from the Chinese embassy with China Corner. Now, another recommendations. Effective oversight is not a job for a single committee. Again, not rocket science. Everyone is in, everyone must be involved. One thing here. We have a problem getting involved. I don't know, the reasons behind why a lot of basically ministries and SOEs fail to reach, to meet these requirements. That it's a legal requirement, by the way. It turns out, by the way, also parliamentarians, 30th of April, declaration of assets. I don't remember last time anyone, some of you guys did that. You just cruise through the 30th of April. This, in somewhat the same way that I cruise through my birthday. Like, till 1-2 weeks after my birthday when people are like, well, hang on a second, when is your birthday? That's the question I'm more often asked. Which the answer is more often is, 2 weeks ago. Like, wait, what? So. Another recommendation, legal frameworks, enable robust mandates. The power and functions of all oversight bodies are explicitly enshrined in the Constitution. Man, I like these things on paper, but the reality on the ground, it's very easy to criticize, public officials on this one, but this is a larger version of, I will love you until the sea will get dry and then you end up doing the babysitter. Not very different. So in other words, to some degree, we all make promises we can't keep. It's just that when you make promises you can't keep in a relationship, it's just you and that poor guy or girl that pays the consequences. But if it's you and the entire country, that's when you have to watch every single comma, letter, and for every, you know, dot of the I and cross of the T must be watched very carefully. Because, well, the bigger the group, the bigger the consequences. Performance auditing drives value for money. The Office of the Auditor General, has moved beyond traditional compliance and effectiveness. Now this is a Kenya-based observation. This is what they observed on observed in Kenya. But here's the thing. Anyone that have been on the website of the Office of the Auditor General here in Namibia have realized that the Office of the Auditor General here just very good at compiling these reports in a way that he put it down. If you are not the one being audited, they are really nice. But if you are the one, the auditor, the Office of the Auditor General's report is based on, like they did with the Ministry of Agriculture, was that Education? Oh, Ministry of Health. Oh boy. When they were basically told, you know, most of those things that you, services and goods that you procured under emergency procurement, well, one of you did not read the, you know, is that Section 6 of the Procurement Act, you know, that outlines, is it 6 or 16, the requirements of what qualifies as emergency procurement. Because, well, congratulations, you bought stuff for the ministry, but it did not meet the requirement of emergency procurement. I was like, uh-oh, now I understand why those guys, especially the works guys, with their shakati door, courtroom door, not the door to Oshakati town, huh? Oshakati courtroom door. The Ministry of Works were like, I'm pretty sure one of us knows a guy who knows a guy who would have fixed that door. There's just one problem. Well, we are trying to follow the procurement procedures because, God forbid, if we don't, we are going to end up in a report of the Office of the Auditor General. They didn't put it that way, but I'm pretty sure that's what was going on in their heads. Because you have other ministries that did exactly that, like the Ministry of Health, and they ended up being in the report. They gotta love Namibia. And then, look, at that point, the Ministry of Works were going, see, that's exactly what we told you. That's the reason why it took us 6 months plus to replace a door. Has that door been replaced though? I don't know. That's why it took us, is it 3 or 6 months plus to replace that door? Because, well, we were trying to the best of our ability to follow protocol, and the protocol is too long now, but the judge had to deal with the dust, or magistrate, had to deal with the dust. So, because none of us wants to take one for the team. Planning and budgeting are inextricably linked. I'm gonna read that again. Planning and budgeting are inextricably linked. Now, here's one thing that this committee left behind here. Planning and budgeting are inextricably linked. What's one thing we failed? Watch this with me. Watch this with me. Come next year, you will hear about SOEs and ministries being criticized for not submitting their procurement plans with the Ministry of Finance on time. But come March, you know, budget allocation, they are given money anyway. So, I mean, who cares? Never getting a job in public office. Now, I'm going through the conclusion, and all I see is, well, they didn't have to leave the country to draw this conclusion. Next time you guys want, just give me the money, I'll draw this conclusion, because this is the easiest conclusion you can draw. Planning and budgeting, very important. Yeah, it is important, which is why we have it written down before the following financial year. Every ministry and SOE must submit their financial plans to the Ministry of Finance, and then they are given money based on those procurement plans. They have to do that before the end of the year. Except, the end of the year always comes, and, a lot of them don't do that. Last year during the elections, a lot of political parties had to be dragged. Actually, they were threatened with, with blacklisting, and some of them were kicked out of the race. That's when a lot of political parties were basically running as the due date was getting close to submit their documents. So if you're a student and you find yourself struggling to submit an assignment, Don't worry. It happens also in ministries and SOEs and the executive offices. The two executive offices, that's the office of the president and the office of the prime minister. They only, you know, last time they were cooked by IPPR for failing to do that. I think that was based on 2021, 22 or 2023 financial year. You know, one of these financial years. Okay. Because they also faced, well, they also failed. They have to they have to submit this procurement plan. They have to submit this procurement plans, one, and also put them on their website, you know, for everyone to read. There's a few things then. Most of us don't read those things anyway, which I think was one of the reasons why a lot of them are lazy to submit the things anyway. But, you guys are being paid to submit. Well, I'm not being paid to read it. You guys are being paid to submit, so you have to submit. I can decide not to read. And then become, you know, a damn non-reader, Namibian. The time is a minute past the hour of business and economic segment, except today is not business and economic segment. Today is China Corner that you're going to be having with yours truly, Mr. Dwight Links, and his team, who will be walking in shortly from yours truly here, Heruta. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, on the Favorite Radio Station. You'll have a good one.